This week's mailbag comes to us from Melissa. Tomorrow is my 1-year anniversary of buying the 100-day program. I received my Sunday basket in January. I have made so much progress, and I finish things, and then things that I haven't finished for too many years, I've let go of them. I have binders that have all of the correct papers in them. All of the sheets aren't filled out yet, but that's okay. Progress over perfection. I've gone through all of my girls' school papers. I have a 20-year-old, a 15, and a 12-year-old. I have made school binders. I have made a plan for having all of their art made into books. Things that I cherish are displayed in a way that makes me happy. My photos aren't in books. Well, most of them aren't, but I have made a few books. This program has worked so well for me. I am sure I have ADHD, and my sleep doctor confirmed that I likely do. The program is made for me, for people like me, and probably you. For those of you starting your first route, I am so excited for you. I've started and failed so many organization efforts over the last 30 years. My garage is still a hot mess, but I have made a huge dent on my basement storage room. I think this next round will basically be the last major one for me. Our house was really, really cluttered, and I'd have to think that most people with normal clutter can do it in 3 rounds. Mine, not so much. I have made so many trips to Goodwill this year, our house just feels lighter. Things are where they belong. Well, they're where Lisa told me they should go, and surprise, surprise, her way is better than my lack of way was. I have listened to so many podcasts and always have a fresh way of thinking about things. The program has made me more productive at work, and I think about my time so differently. I bet if Lisa checked, I have purchased more slash pockets than any other customer last year. All of my work papers are in slash pockets now, and all of my home papers are as well. My Sunday basket has been a game changer. I am now one of those people who have a list for all their bills and highlight them when they get paid. I use the planner and planning day. The program just builds and builds on top of itself. I wake up every morning and mutter, trash, 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 food, 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 clothing, clothing, clothing. And my house is always so much better. I try to do my 15 minutes in the first hour or so after I wake up. Oh, and my biggest takeaway, measure your spaces before you purchase any new containers for them. That has been a huge help for me, having things that are the right proportion and fill up an entire shelf. This is going to be a great round. Oh, and I completely unexpectedly gained a new friend in real life in Lisa. She brings her true authentic self to the podcast. When she says you think of her as your friend, and you are, I can tell you she 100% means it. Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Let's talk about decluttering for fall productivity. Now, you know what decluttering is, right? It's getting rid of what you don't need so that you have less, and then once you have less, you take the items that you have and you organize them. We usually go through our house and we declutter room by room, section by section for how we use our space. And so I want to take a minute here and really hone us in on how you are currently using your living space. Now, next week, we'll talk about how to organize your space and space planning for pandemic living. We're not talking about how you're going to organize it now. Today, I just want to talk about who is in your home and either has or may possibly quarantine with you, what phase of life you are in, and, you know, the stuff that we have. So first of all, let's talk about who. Who is in your home right now, today? Who was in your home during the last quarantine? And who might you want in your home in the next quarantine? There are some really funny memes going on out there. And one of them says, hey, do we get to pick different partners when we quarantine together in season 2? That sounds hilarious. Because, you know, we kind of all got stuck at home real fast and we didn't make a lot of conscious decisions, but let's make some conscious decisions. You know, one of the things we decided to do was to move Joey from a studio apartment when his lease expired to a one bedroom apartment. We got him a bigger apartment and he's not going to quarantine with us next time. He didn't spend most of his quarantine with us this time. If there's another quarantine situation, he is now set up with his own washer and dryer. He's good to go. So it doesn't mean that everyone is going to necessarily come home. You may have college kids as well that moved out of their apartments and came home with you this time. Do you want to do that next time? They're young adults. Are they able to stay up near their college campus and do their remote learning there without you? Yes or no? I mean, you know your kids. So that's one thing. Who do you want to be in your next quarantine? And I think a lot of us that have older parents, this is not myself, but some of you that have older parents that are maybe in assisted living communities, if they don't need a lot of assistance and it's more of a lifestyle thing and a social thing, do you want them quarantining with you instead? Like, I do know people that have moved their parents out of assisted living or who were potentially going to go into assisted living, and the choice has been made, no, they're going to actually live with them instead of in an assisted living facility. So those kinds of things, like, where are your immediate family members, good friends? I also know there are some people, when the quarantine lockdown came, they had cousins that stayed with them or friends that quarantined with them to help them with their kids. I've been pretty open about the fact that Emily or Abby was a nanny when the pandemic broke out for critical healthcare workers, and she continued to be the nanny the entire time. She lived with us, but she would go to her work and be a nanny. So my number one suggestion has always been to definitely find a teenager to quarantine with you or to be inside of your bubble in some way. But you know what the safety is about that for you. So people, who are your people? Who are your people that are inside your bubble, inside of your quarantine? And that will help us with the next thing that we're going to think about. All right, I want to take you back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I talked about in that podcast, I talked about how, you know, most of us, there are five levels to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And the top levels are, you know, self-actualization. And we tend to get to these levels when we are in our school, in our work, because the basic needs are already met for us. So the basic needs are safety and water and clothing and shelter. And so those basic needs are met for you when you go to school. They're met for you when you go into your corporate office. And so you can keep climbing up Maslow's hierarchy of needs and you can become all you're meant to be in those situations because you're focused on learning or you're focused on doing your job. At home, I made the case that it is harder to get to that level because there's always laundry, there's always dishes, there's always grocery shopping to do. And these are lower level tasks that have to be done repetitively that don't give us enough time to get to the top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Well, I think we can all agree that in late March 2020 in the United States, we all collectively, if we were playing the game of chutes and ladders, got on top of the slide and slid all the way down to the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we started spending an exorbitant amount of time figuring out how to get our family members home, how to get toilet paper, how to get food, how to get internet, how to get just the basics of, like, how do we get the school assignments? How do we get the work internet connected through the Ethernet thing so that I can work? How do we, you know, like, we were down to the basics, and we are now starting to climb up Maslow's hierarchy again. Like, okay, everybody is safe. Things are starting to open up again. Jobs are starting to come back. You know, we're starting to climb up this Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Just know that we as a country went down the slide together at the end of March. All of us since then, and through the rest of this year at least, we'll continue to have these chutes and ladders experiences according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. There will be incidents that happen that cause you to slide back down to the bottom. Maybe your city will close down. Maybe your, you know, like Greg's office, they, you know, they have a furlough thing now. And so that, you know, really rocked his world for a while. Like, how do I, in a furlough situation, apparently, you aren't allowed to work. Like, even if you want to work, you cannot work. And so then how do you pass off your project to the other team if you're not allowed to answer email, you're not allowed to answer the phone, but you want to still service your clients? Because most people that work truly are passionate about what they do and they want to do a good job. And so a furlough situation forces you to not be available to help your team meet the client's needs, which is stressful, right? Because you want to do a good job. And so that's going to make you go, oh, shoot. Okay, so now I can't do that. Plus, also, FYI, sounds like it'd be fun, but we all know it's not as fun as it sounds when you're not allowed to work. Like, it sounds like great. I get an extra vacation day. Oh, that's right. We're in a pandemic. Nothing I can do with it. So those kinds of experiences, or, you know, maybe you're on unemployment and the unemployment extra bonus check is going to run out, or you thought your job was fine and you just got a pay cut of 35%, or you thought your kid's school was going to open and now you just got the notice that nope, it's going to be all online again and you're scrambling for childcare. There are going to be all kinds of things that are going to cause you to slide back down that slide and be at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, because we live our life based on our routines and habits. That is why humans are so evolved. It's like you have a morning routine, an evening routine, an afternoon routine. You have a habit. You brush your teeth and then you take a shower and then you weigh yourself and then you get dressed and then you make the coffee. And then, like, we are very habitual people, very habitual people. And the way to be more productive is to create better habits and really ingrain them. And it does not take 21 days to make a habit. It could take 6 months. It could take a year. Like, so 21 days from now, if you create these habits, it's not that easy. And you could probably make a habit in 21 days, but you can make a habit in 21 days. You can't make a 7 new things you're going to do every morning habit in 21 days. That's going to take a year. So building habits is very slow and methodical over time. And people who are truly productive and get so much done, you're like, how did they get so much done? They typically add 1 or 2 new habits 3 or 4 times a year. So they're actually adding 4 to 8 habits per year, but they're doing it over a long period of time and they're just slowly incorporating these habits. At the end of March 2020, half of your habits at least were taken away. Because if you drove to work, there were things you did on that drive to work that you're not doing now. You processed, you thought, you decompressed, you planned your day. Now you're moving from your bedroom into your office and you lost all of that processing time. Now, I did not do that. I didn't commute. So Lisa, shouldn't have been a problem for you, but it still was a problem for me. Because when Greg would go on his commute on his way to work, I would listen to a podcast. I would let the dog out. I would have a coffee. I had created my own little commute that I did inside of my house. But when you're now working with your spouse next to you and I have my podcast in and he says something, I'm like, what? He's like, oh, still listening to podcast, aren't you? Yes, because that's what I used to do all the time. But now it's weird that I'm listening to a podcast because you would like to have a conversation with me. So we lost so much thinking time. We lost so much thinking time. We lost our habits. We lost our routines. And for many of us, we still don't have those back. And we aren't sure when they're going to be coming back. And they may look differently. They may look different. So recognizing that the exhaustion that we're feeling is because we are trying to process a massive amount of change in and not being able to plan. If I could make a plan going forward and follow the plan, then I don't think I'd be as exhausted and overwhelmed as I am often, because at least there's a new plan to follow. But every time, and you know this is true, every time you think you just made a plan, something happens and that is no longer the plan. And it's very hard to live with unknowns. It's almost easier to live with bad knowns than unknown possibility. It's harder for your brain to grasp around that. So now we've thought about who we want to have in our house, and we've recognized that we are going to start climbing up Maslow's hierarchy and start to get routines and structures in place, and we are going to slide down. And as we slide down, we are sliding down to more disorganization than we used to have in February, just because so many things have been changing. The third thing I want you to think about is the phase of life that you are in today, not the phase of life you were in or are going to be, but today, this exact day, what phase of life are you in? I'm talking back to the mindset of an organization, take back your house one phase at a time. If you listen to that book or you've bought that book, that's where I say there are four distinct phases of life. There is childhood, there is accumulation in your 20s and 30s, there is survival, which is your 40s and 50s, and downsizing and legacy, which is 55 plus. And those are just generalizations. You may be in a different category than your age, but basically what happens is you're a child, you live in your parents' home, and you have your mini apartment, which is your bedroom, but everything else is under your parents' domain pretty much. When you move out of your parents' home and you have your own apartment or dorm room or condo or house, you enter into the accumulation phase because you don't own anything. And every time you want to do anything, including hang something on the wall, you need to buy a hammer and nails. Then you want to vacuum the carpet. Oh yeah, I don't have a vacuum cleaner. I want to do laundry. Oh yeah, I don't have a washer and a dryer. Like, you realize you don't own anything. So you have to start accumulating stuff because all you own is what you used to have in your mini apartment, which was your bedroom. You didn't have any of the stuff you need for a house. So everything you want to do involves a trip to Lowe's or Target or somewhere like that. And then during your 20s and 30s, you start accumulating other things, houses, spouses, jobs, careers, you know, you move again, all these things. And all of these things involve more and more stuff. So you're bringing more and more stuff, and your organization is related to decluttering and organizing, decluttering and organizing. In your 40s, I say you're in your survival years because usually, you, if you've had children, you are parenting children and also generally helping with the older generations in your family as well, and you're in your prime earning years. So you're also trying to make a mark on your career. And this has you sandwiched in between these two generations and running out of time. And until recently, you would not be at home because you're always running and out doing things. Now we are at home. And then downsizing and legacy is when you are not actively parenting children and possibly you've taken care of an estate inside of one of your family members' homes. And you realize that, boy, the stuff that we've saved, I would like to get these memories in something that we look at all the time. I'd like to go through our photos and maybe just even make one photo album. So we look at the photo album instead of owning all these boxes of photos. Or I'd like to take all the kids' jerseys and I want to make that into a blanket that they could take to college or have in their apartment or whatever, as opposed to just having a box of jerseys or things like that. You start looking at all the items that you've accumulated over your lifetime and how can you enjoy the memory and the item without just keeping it in the storage room. So which of those phases of life are you in? And then I want you to embrace that phase of life. Okay, so I am in the survival phase of life. And I can't even tell you how exciting it was a couple weeks ago when we moved basement furniture up to Joey's apartment and moved his apartment and bought Abby new furniture. And she has the basement and that's what we're calling her mini apartment. And now Greg and I have the upstairs of our house to ourselves. And I've recarpeted and done my office. And we are moving into that empty nester phase, even though we are not alone in our house yet. And I'm embracing that. Like, I'm embracing the fact that, you know, we got rid of a whole bunch of other furniture that was in our storage that neither of the kids wanted, and we for sure weren't going to use it. Why do we need it? We don't. Get it out. You know, our phase of life is the first two floors of the house are the way Greg and I want it. The basement is the way Abby wants it, and we've equipped Joey with how he wants his apartment. And everything Abby has bought for her apartment in the basement will move to her apartment with her in the future. And so we are embracing this move from the survival phase of life into the downsizing and legacy phase of life. When you know what phase of life you're in, I want you to embrace it. And now we're going to talk about decluttering. And I mean ruthless decluttering. Normally I say, oh, just declutter what you want and then wait. No. We are going to ruthlessly declutter. And here's why. Number one, it makes you feel great. It makes you feel, it moves your body. You get a sweat. You're like, that's right. We're getting this stuff out of here. This bed has been broken for 10 years. Why do I even have it? Like, you just start moving stuff out. Just move it out. Get it out of your house. Make space, not just physical space, which we're going to be talking about next week, but also energetic space and emotional space. And it will be hard. It won't be easy to get rid of some of the things you get out of your garage and your storage room and your attic and your closet and all those things. But let's get it out. The other thing I'm realizing is, you know, I bought these really great clothes from White House Black Market, which I love, but everything I'm doing now is on Zoom. So I'm going to get some really cute blouses because I'm not wearing dresses. Who are you kidding? I am not wearing dresses. And I have all these blazers and stuff, these suits. I'm not wearing suits on Zoom either. And so if we're going to be at home for a pandemic, and even if we're not at home, we're pretty much doing a lot of things on Zoom for a while, which is the vibe I'm getting. I'm going to invest in some really cute blouses and tops and sweaters and neat things that are going to look fun on Zoom. Just a couple, but I'm going to freshen up my wardrobe that way. I would have never bought those things last February. It's not really my style. It's not the way I think I'm going to dress forever, but it looks great on camera and it'll make me have fun going into the fall. So there may be some things that are in my closet that I've had for quite a while. Like, you know what? I'm not going to wear it right now. And when we come out of the pandemic, I think I'm kind of over that style. I'm going to let it go. And the reason why I'm saying to ruthlessly declutter is for two reasons. Number one, you know, and I know that a lot of the stuff that we have saved that we have not decluttered yet, we are keeping just in case. I can just keep that just in case. Well, you know, just in case, I might need that. I may need that one. We might need that. I am here to tell you, we are in a pandemic where we ran out of toilet paper as a nation. If you are saving it just in case and you did not use it in the last 4 months, the odds of you actually using it are pretty much zero. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. There's a meme that's going around that says, if you didn't make banana bread during this pandemic, were you even in quarantine? And I'm here to tell you, didn't make banana bread. As a matter of fact, I think I cooked twice. I know how. I feel it was my job to stimulate the economy. So we continued to get takeout. We didn't want those businesses to go bankrupt, you know. Greg cooked more than he normally does, but we did a lot of shopping and we did a lot of ordering takeout. Because I always order takeout, which goes to show you that during lockdown, when everybody is making banana bread and things from scratch, I was trying to figure out how to get DoorDash to deliver us food from a restaurant. Clearly, if I have any kind of stockpiled food or cooking utensils, I'm never going to use it because just in case just happened and I did not just in case it. I did go over the edge and buy the Tower Garden and make the salads, but I'm already decluttering that over to my cousin because she will actually use it on a regular basis, and I'm over it already. I'm over it. I'll be fine. I'll go get salad at her house. I don't know. I'll be fine. So if you did not use it just in case, the odds of you actually using it are pretty much nil. Like, I hesitate to say what more could happen to us, but I mean, what more can happen to us? The second reason why I want you to ruthlessly declutter right now is because what you have just in case that you don't need, someone else actually needs. Someone else truly needs it. And I don't think that was probably true in February of 2020. But today, there are people that truly need those clothes that you have stored in the basement. Oh my gosh, your kids' toys that you may or may not want. There are parents everywhere whose children are climbing the walls and driving them crazy because they are bored. And they are bored because they're not allowed to get out and go to daycare and go to preschool and play with their friends. And they are stuck at home with their parents, with their stuff. And they have toys. It's not like they don't have toys, but the toys they have, they now know intimately, and they are bored of their own toys, and they want novelty. They want new toys. They want different puzzles, different Legos, different whatever. And you have that coming out your ears in your storage area, and you don't even really know if you want it anymore. I want us to share. I want us to ruthlessly declutter, and then I want us to share right now. So if you if you went to town and you have now rekindled your love of cooking and I have extra cooking supplies, I want to gift. I don't have any. I've already ruthlessly decluttered. But if I still had my Instapot and you don't have an Instapot and you actually cook things, I want to give you my old Instapot because I clearly didn't use it. I'm not going to use it. I don't need it. And you're cooking and you would use it and you would love it and you're not going to buy it because it's either money you don't have or, you know, it just hasn't risen to the top of your list. But you who are using the Instapot, you might have all these play kitchen foods that you're not using anymore because your kids are high schooler and you don't know if you ever need them, but you're going to give those to a mom who has a two-year-old. Everyone who has a friend who has a two-year-old, I think you should pray for them because they don't have babysitters or any of these other things. And if you have any idea of something that a two-year-old could safely play with that is in your storage room, get it out, clean it up, drop it off on their doorstep with a little basket of cookies, and they will be your best friend for the rest of your life. Those poor mothers stuck at home with their children. I would lose my mind. You give your stuff to them. They go through their stuff. They're going through all their wedding gifts. You know, like, I got doubles of this. I don't need it. They pass on that. See what I'm saying? Let's just pass it forward. Let's ruthlessly declutter what we have in our house that we have saved just in case. And obviously that just in case did not happen to us. And then say, great, here's what I have. Here's a value. Go on your Facebook page, email your family members, start a text thread with your family or your good girlfriends or whoever, and just say, hey, I'm ruthlessly decluttering, and the thing I happen to have some extra of is this. Does anybody want, I don't know, needle pointing equipment, scrapbooking supplies, puzzles? Let's start a puzzle train also. I think that should be a thing since puzzles can't be found in stores anymore. If you like puzzles and three of your family members like puzzles, let's have a puzzle thing. Like, figure out how many puzzles you are, get in a box and ship it to them, or meet them in a central location once a month, swap your puzzles, do your social, take what we have, share what we have, because we did keep it just in case, but maybe you kept it just in case for someone else. All right, next week I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about what we're going to do with the space that we're clearing up as we get rid of our just in case and share it with those around us who could use it, maybe not financially use it, but definitely for their mental sanity could use whatever that you are getting rid of.